Another reminder of the visual sense of the liturgy and how pictures, images, what in the Eastern Church would be the tradition of icons, was very important as a means of enhancing and facilitating liturgical prayer, we find illustrated both literally and figuratively in the West, most beautifully in the tradition of Books of Hours. These were what we would today call the Liturgy of the Hours, but in fact, they were a small portion of it. They generally contained what is called the office, or the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which today is effectively the same thing as the common of four feasts of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It contained one day's worth of the Liturgy of the Hours, containing all the elements of each of the hours, of prime terce, sext, none, vespers, compline, and even vigils, the night office. There would be one each of these, focusing on mysteries corresponding to the life and theology of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the archetype and symbol of the Church, as the Mother of God, as the intercessor. In a very real sense, it was a reminder of the fact that Mary is, above all else, the one who stands for the whole material universe, and especially the whole of humanity, redeemed by Christ, drawn into the Church, and then drawn into unity and union with God. So all of the events in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary that were meditated on and reflected on during this during the prayer of this little office would have also been at the same time what we would today call a kind of an ecclesiological reflection on the fact that all of us, like Mary, are called upon to live in deep union with Christ, to lift each other up in prayer, to seek one another's prayers. These Books of Hours were very widespread, and they were available to people of a whole wide variety of socioeconomic strata. We'll be looking here at examples of some of the most glorious ever created, and of course these are literally works fit for a king, or at least fit for a duke, the brother of a king. But in fact, Books of Hours were available even to people who had very little money, and we have clear examples of the fact that ordinary folk, simple shopkeepers, ordered these, had them made for them, for their families, and depending on what they could afford, sometimes they would have woodblock prints included within them, sometimes hand illuminations. It all depended on what kind of a Book of Hours they wished to commission. There were whole guilds that were responsible for producing these, but they were works of prayer intended to facilitate the daily offering of the hours of the day into God's hands using the Psalms. They were the Liturgy of the Hours with a specific Marian focus, and they were extremely widespread throughout the Christian West. As soon as paper technology became available in the West, that is to say, in about the 12th century, as soon as one no longer had to depend on parchment, which was outrageously expensive and it meant that books were the province of extremely wealthy people, as soon as paper became available, Books of Hours appeared everywhere. And the ones that survive are the ones that weren't prayed up, that is to say, used so much that they disintegrated into nothing. And many, many do survive from the Middle Ages. They were extremely common, so widespread, in fact, and so commonly used, both in prayer by lay people, and these were an exclusive thing for lay people. Clerics and religious would have used the Liturgy of the Hours, but these Books of Hours were a form of piety for the layman. They were so widespread and used, and in fact also used in teaching, that the office of prime, which was always the first office in these books, eventually gave its name to the ordinary book that was used to teach children how to read, namely a primer or a primer. So without realizing it, we still have today in English a reminder of how very popular and common these things were during the Middle Ages. I've included some pictures of one of the most beautiful examples of these, just to give us an idea of how the pictures that were included with these are a reflection of the kind of piety that was supposed to be encouraged during the praying of these hours of prayer. And I've given the example of the feeding of the multitude, which is a pictorial meditation on the verse from Isaiah 66, rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad with you all who love her, that you may exult from her consoling breasts. We've already seen this ancient typological tradition, which in which a text from the Old Testament reminds us of what Jesus has done. This is a visual picture of exactly the same thing. And facing it, from Psalm 44, the Royal Bridegroom Psalm, my heart overflows with noble words, to the King I must sing the song I have made. My heart is nimble as the pen of a scribe. And then all the invitations to the young bride who is being wedded to the King, to realize both what she is leaving behind and what she is accepting and all the beautiful, glorious things that she's receiving in entering into this new relationship. The picture reminds us that this is our own souls being invited into that nuptial or intimate or bridegroom relationship, here symbolized by Christ extending his arm to the church, namely to us. So the pictures in these books of ours give us an insight into what was going on in the hearts of the people who prayed them. Dropping down to the glorious, one of the glorious calendar pages, which would have had facing it, not what I've put, which is an Annunciation page, but facing this calendar page, which depicts the month of May and the activities that were being done by the Duke de Berry's court during the festive processions and hunting experiences of that time, would have been the saints' days for that month. It literally would have been a way of determining which feast days you were going to celebrate at that time. But I've chosen different pictures simply to give us a sense of how these books were used in prayer. The beautiful icon of the Annunciation, or image actually, which is purely Western. Notice that the Blessed Virgin Mary is holding in her hand, or at least she's reaching up her hand and sitting in front of, clearly, a reading desk. In the West, Mary is always depicted, or almost always depicted, as reading a book, reading the scriptures when the angel comes to her to announce the Annunciation. She is, as it were, at Lectio Divina when she hears what it is Christ is going to be, that she is going to be the one to bear the Christ. And again, this is a reminder that for all of us, we who read the Word of God become bearers of the Word. Below it are two glorious depictions. The one of the stern and frightening fate of falling away from God, the implacable and yet at the same time glorious reminder of free will, our capacity either to remain in the choir, literally it's an angelic choir surrounding the throne of God, or to fall away, to separate ourselves from God, and the rebel angels are falling down to the earth in this picture on the right. As it were, facing it is the coronation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven, this tremendously powerful image of God uniting the created world to himself. The tradition of Mary's assumption into heaven is also an affirmation that there is in the Western, in the Christian understanding of heaven, not just spiritual existence, but the union of flesh and spirit. We are destined to be bodies as well, drawn into heaven. I might mention that the blue background for all of these was actually made of ground lapis lazuli, a very precious precious gemstone, which was literally used as a pigment in these beautiful illustrations. In the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' gaze is raising Lazarus, and the two who are gazing at the Lord are Lazarus and his sister Mary, beholding the Lord, who simply in his gazing upon us is raising us to new life. A depiction of the fall and expulsion of humankind. And then, and we'll see this again in Caedmon's story in one of our latter segments, purgatory is an alternation between the fire that purifies and somehow the water that cools, enabling the soul finally to find its way into heaven, and a stern reminder of the fate of those who are forever separated in a depiction of hell. Again, these are an insight into the kind of spirit that lay behind the praying of the Psalms in private liturgy through the use of books of hours during the Middle Ages.